We invite you to enjoy this sermon presented by the Reverend Bob Geckler on July 21, 2024 at the Wearsdale Presbyterian Church of Wearsdale, Florida. The title is Time for a Nap.
Our Holy Gospel for today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be with me in the spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Shepherd stories show up many times in the scriptures, both the Old and New Testaments. Often as metaphors for the care provided by God's servants to God's people, but sometimes literally as shepherds. The Christmas story is, of course, one that immediately comes to mind when the shepherds in the fields are told by angels of the birth of Jesus, and they promptly go to Bethlehem to see the newborn Messiah. That shepherds were the first to hear the news and come to see the child is significant. Shepherds were common folk, not royalty, not the highly educated, not rich or fancy, just common guys doing their job. They, of course, had to have certain skills and temperaments to do the job, but they were surely not seen as the elite of the day. Yet, that picture of shepherds caring for the flock of sheep is a recurring theme and paints quite a picture for us. We are, of course, part of that flock that needs to be led in the right direction, guided back when we go astray, and cared for in all our needs. Quite a responsible task for the shepherd. As we sang just a bit ago, "The Lord is our shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me to still waters, leads me in the right paths, restores my soul and comforts me." That's a lot of care. That's the kind of care we receive from our Lord, the Good Shepherd. Jeremiah reminds us, however, that not all shepherds are good. There are those who destroy the flock and scatter the sheep. The Lord promises that he will gather up the faithful flock, protect them, and raise up shepherds for them. Jesus also warned that there would be unfaithful shepherds, Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Then, in the first letter of John, we hear, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit, for there are many false prophets in the world." The Lord makes it clear in our reading from Jeremiah that he will take care of his flock. But he will also deal with those shepherds who have failed in their calling to care for the flock. Thankfully, though, that part is in God's hands, not ours. In the gospel reading from Mark, Jesus saw the large crowd gathering, needing and wanting his loving care. His words, teachings, and healing touch. Again, the image of a shepherd is used, as Jesus says, "They are like sheep without a shepherd." Jesus, of course, for a time, can be their shepherd. But he then sends others to take that role of shepherd to the flock. That was something we talked about last week, of how we are all called to serve in many and varied ways. The word pastor comes from the Latin word pastor, meaning shepherd, and is derived from the Latin verb pascere, which essentially means to lead to pasture, set to grazing, cause to eat. Things a shepherd would guide the flock to. Jesus certainly fills that role of shepherd to us, his flock, and to that crowd gathered that day in our gospel story. He did not let them down. He taught them, he healed them, and you know they came away feeling blessed by him. There is another important point in our readings today. In that very familiar 23rd Psalm, we hear, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." That's a pleasant scene we can all relate to at various times. I'm sure we can visualize such a setting in our minds, possibly even recalling paintings depicting such a place. In the reading from the Gospel of Mark, Jesus said to the apostles, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. I can relate to that. I would not be at all surprised if most of you can too. We live in a world that sets very little time apart for leisure. We have news coming at us 24 hours a day, work schedules that put us in a position of always being ready to go, emails and text messages coming at us at all hours and all days. It doesn't stop. Even for those of us who are retired or semi-retired. Clearly, from that gospel passage, it didn't stop in Jesus' day either. Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to relax and eat. A basic necessity of life. God knows we need rest, we need nourishment, and we need time away from our routines. I'm sure many of you have hobbies and activities that offer you a break from the day-to-day needs of life. Games, sports, crafting, gardening, a good walk, perhaps a movie or reading a book. The list could go on and on and on. I sail my little radio-controlled sailboat on a pond near our house. The specific activity may vary, but the important point is that we have that mental break from routines and stress, a sort of reset for our minds to clear the way for thoughts to flow anew. Jesus told them and tells us to come away and rest. Perhaps a little nap, something I admit I enjoy too. Maybe not lying down in green pastures, but resting our bodies as well as our minds. Jesus was very human and knew the need for all this. He didn't just tell them, "You go." No, they all went together. There are other instances where Jesus goes apart to a quiet place, such as in the Garden of Gethsemane. That respite that we are invited to goes even further than just resting our minds and our bodies. It opens us to speak to God and for God to speak to us. It is often in our quiet times that God speaks most clearly. Last week, I mentioned the calling of Samuel. God called to him when he was in bed, perhaps sleeping or maybe on the edge of sleep. How often does God call to you? God speaks to you and me in those quiet times of our lives. Sometimes God speaks through tempests of wind, thunder, or earthquakes, but sometimes, perhaps more frequently, as God spoke to Elijah, as recorded in the book of 1 Kings, he speaks in a still, small voice. We need to be quiet to hear that voice. Rejoice in your quiet times. They are a gift from God. Be open to hearing the voice of God in your life. For indeed, God can and does speak to us, if only we will listen. May it be so. Amen. And please be with me again in the spirit of prayer. Lord Jesus, you are our good shepherd. Lead us to those quiet places where we may rest in your loving presence and listen for your voice in our lives. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
You have heard a sermon delivered on July 21, 2024 at the Wearsdale Presbyterian Church of Wearsdale, Florida by the Reverend Bob Geckler. The title was Time for a Nap? Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.